But that all. He said, well, I thought you told me to be gentle with him, just talk to him. So after I just got to get his attention first. I do like that. Anybody else find anything in Psalm 143 that they like? Did y'all hear it back there? Stand up and tell him. Come on, Sandy.
Well,
in the first few verses there, he was way down, which is where we get sometimes, assessing me. But instead of introspection and thinking, poor me, he meditated on all the Lord's work and the works that he came. That's a good cure, too, isn't it? You can't be centered on Jesus Christ and centered on yourself at the same time. You can't be looking in and up at the same time. Whenever you begin to look at the problems, you've had it. You're in trouble. But as long as you're looking at Jesus, there's victory. I think that's what it means there in Romans 12:3 when it says looking unto Jesus. 12, is it Hebrews or Romans? Where is that?
Hebrews
12. Yeah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 2:9, it says, but we see Jesus. The world sees the problem, but we see Jesus. Appreciate that good word. Thank you. Anybody else find anything in Psalm 143? They're like, yes, Max?
Well, it's verse 2 kind of brings out the fact that God would be also forgiving, because he said, in thy sight shall no living man be justified, that enter not into judgment with thy servants. And it seems like he may realize the fact that God could be also strictly regaining the fact that he really would not be willing.
Y'all hear him back there at all? You know, stand up and tell him, Max, what you said.
No, what I
That's
said
a good was, word.
Verse 2, he said that he was afraid he wanted God not to judge him because no man could stand up under the sight of the judgment of God. And this kind of emphasized the fact to me that God is an awful forgiving God. If he can let us get by with the things that we have done and forgive us for him time and time again.
Appreciate that, Max. We got what we deserve. We'd all go to hell, wouldn't we? We've got what we deserve. But you know, the good news is that we don't have to take what we deserve. The good news is we don't have to be like we are. That we can be changed. And that's what Jesus Christ means when he's hanging on that cross. You know, the gap has been bridged. The way back to God has been forged. Doing for us that which we can't do for ourselves. You know, the Bible says he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, he became what we are, sin, in order that we might become what he is, perfect. Praise God. That's good news. That's good news. Well, I hope that you all will make it the habit of your life to spend time alone with Christ day by day. If you want to know him in a more intimate and personal way, if you want your life to count for him, spend time with him. Nothing more important that I know of. No substitute for it. There's nothing you can do in the way of activity, nothing you can do in the way of service, nothing you can do in the way of sacrifice that will mean nearly as much as just spending time alone with him. It's basic. What does that mean? How many of you say that, think that means one? Let me see your hands. Anybody think that means one? How many of you think it means 17? Thank you. How many think it means 72? How many don't have any opinion? You know, that means different things to different people depending upon how you look at it. Depending upon your mind set. To some people, that means one when they see it. Some people, it means 17. Some people it means 72. And it all depends upon your mindset. And every evaluation that we make of every set of circumstances and facts that we see is based upon our mindset, our experience, that which we know before. Psychologists say, what gets your mind gets you. What gets your mind gets you. Perhaps that's the reason that Solomon, writing over in Proverbs 4:23, said, "Guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The world is working at feeding our minds every day. Television, radio, books, billboard, Playboy. Parenthetically, you might know, if you don't, you should, I suppose, that Playboy magazine will be read by more college men this month in America than all of the leading next six leading publications combined. That's interesting, isn't it? That old boy's name, Hugh Everhugh he is, made $40 million out of his little Playboy magazine and the bunnies last year. Yes, the world is attempting to feed us, attempting to give us a mindset the way they want it. Interesting to note that in research on brainwashing and the prisoners of war who succumbed to it in the Korean conflict, the army psychiatrist, in doing a study on these returned prisoners, found that those who did not yield or crack up under the brainwashing fell in two categories. One, those who had deep spiritual and moral convictions. Two, those who knew and reviewed Bible verses. What's happening in our mind is of tremendous importance. In fact, that's the reason Paul, in writing the book of Romans, in Romans 12:2, said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, every one of us, day by day, is either being transformed or conformed. One or the other. J.B. Phillips translates it this way: don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. And boy, it's trying. You know, the deal today is that everything's all right if it's a meaningful relationship. This is the new morality, which is just the old immorality dressed up, which is no morality at all. But that's what's being pushed. You know. Are you being transformed? Or are you being conformed? Ephesians 4:23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the Bible says. 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. Tremendously important. And this is not just as easy as it may seem. Human mind is a great deal like an iceberg. Only 15% of it is above the surface. That's the conscious mind. 85% below the surface in the subconscious. Now, if that's true, and there is a continual flow of information from the subconscious into the conscious, and what's in the subconscious affects what comes out in the conscious, then how can we change our mindset? Or our perspective. This is not just a hypothetical question. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, said, "I am asking God that you may have still more love." Philippians 1:9. A love that is filled with knowledge and wise insight. You see, that's perspective. I want you always to be able to recognize the highest and the best. That's a mindset. He wrote to the church in Colossae, Colossians 1:9. He said, "I am asking God that you may see things, as it were, from His point of view." You see, that's mindset, that's perspective, by being given spiritual insight and understanding. Philippians 2:5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And I do not believe that means just the 4 pounds of gray matter that resided in the cranium of the Son of God in His human body. "Let that mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus," speaks of perspective. How you see it, how you look. Well, how can I do it? How can I change my mindset, my perspective? The best way I know of, frankly, is through Scripture memory. Scripture memory. Take a glass of water that's dirty. Muddy water. You take that glass of muddy water and you put it in under a faucet of clean water and turn on the faucet, what's going to happen to that glass? It'll clear up. You bet. Same thing is true of the mind. You take a mind that is filled with doubts and filth and evil,
and you begin to fill it with the Word of God, pretty soon the feedback becomes clear. But you know, for years we've been feeding garbage into our subconscious, and we expect to get filet mignon out. But it doesn't work that way. You know, what you feed in is going to come out. And that's the reason for just a few minutes tonight I want to talk to you about memorizing the Word of God. Now, you may think having a quiet time is difficult, and it is. And the lieutenants and the minions of Satan may give you a real battle when it comes to this matter of quiet time, but when you begin to try and memorize the Word of God, the old man himself is coming. Yes, sir. You can look for the boss man to show, and you'll be shot at from every conceivable direction. It's logical. Remember when Jesus was tempted up there in the wilderness? You remember how he answered every temptation? Who can tell me? What did he answer every temptation in the wilderness with? With the Word of God. Every time the enemy opened his mouth, Jesus Christ crammed it full of Scripture. He really did. And when he got all through, you know, he'd taken a pot shot at the Savior three times and had fouled out. He struck out. It says that he withdrew for a season. And I can almost imagine him going back and getting his boys together and saying, "Listen, fellas," and he was probably put together with chewing gum and Band-Aid and Scotch tape. He'd pretty well be up. He said, "Listen, those people up there, you know, if they have to go to church, you let them go once in a while. And even the prayer meeting, if they insist. But don't you let them get that word in their life, or we're defeated." He said, "I just took a terrible whipping. And he beat me to death with the Word of God." Still true today. Still true today. And when a man begins to get equipped with the Word of God, he can get ready. The battle's on. Well, let me suggest six reasons why we ought to memorize the Word of God. First, the purity of life. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11, David says this, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" That's a good question today. When one out of every 17 babies born in our country is illegitimate today, when syphilis has increased 200% in the last 3 years in women under 20 years of age, when there are 7 million known alcoholics, 3.5 million problem drinkers, pornography is a $500 million a year business, crime is increasing twice as fast as our population, three times as fast among juveniles, there are 6 million known homosexuals. Listen, it's a pretty good question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Boy, that's not hypothetical, that's real. In verse 11, he answers it by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Purity of life. The Word of God in the heart. Secondly, spiritual prosperity. A couple of verses that I wish you'd note. Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Result. Listen to the result. "He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Application, meditate on the Word of God. Result, whatever you do will prosper. Tremendous promise. Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Result, "Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success." Spiritual prosperity. Personal guidance. The third one. Psalm 119:105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You want to know what God wants you to do? You want spiritual guidance? Hide the Word of God in your heart. Victory in the battle. Victory in the battle. What do you believe about the Bible, really? Well, let me ask you another question. What is your authority for what you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? Do you believe it because it was taught you by your parents? Or do you believe whatever you can reason out with your head? Or do you believe whatever your emotions tell you, however you feel about it? Or what is your authority for what you believe? Do you believe what the church says you ought to believe? What's your authority? Many of you are perhaps taking philosophy or have. How many here have either taken philosophy or are taking it? All right. You better find out what you believe. What is your authority? And there are a lot of authorities running around today. I personally stand right upon that word of God. I tried the intellect. I was trained as an engineer. This was my direction, and I wanted everything to fit. And my position for years was anything that I could put into a test tube and break down and put back together, I'd buy, and if I couldn't do it that way, I wouldn't buy it. But I finally concluded that a God that was small enough for me to completely understand would not be big enough to meet my needs. I would not accept what the church said because the church is made up of men, and I don't believe men are perfect. And I decided I couldn't trust my emotions because my emotions may depend on what I eat. You know, if I have bad food, I may feel bad. If I have good food, I may feel good. And so I decided I couldn't trust my emotions. I couldn't trust my intellect. And I couldn't trust what other people said. And then I began to look. And I looked in the Quran. And I looked in the writings of Confucius. And I looked in the Taoist and the Buddhist. And finally came to the conclusion that the only book of instructions that I could find that would stand up to higher criticism was the Word of God, the Bible. And that is where I'm staking my life. If the Bible's wrong, I'm wrong. I pushed all the chips into the table. They're all there. Do you believe that this is the Word of God? Not that it contains the Word of God, but that it is the Word of God. It's important. You know, the Bible says that this is the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says that it's quick, it's alive, it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It says that in Hebrews 4:12, Ephesians 6:17. Victory in the battle. The fifth reason is successful service. Here's another verse you won't believe, but that's all right. You get back to your place tonight, you can take your razor blade and cut this one out and throw it away. 2 Timothy 3:17. J.B. Phillips' translation puts it this way. The Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work. You believe that? 2 Timothy 3:17. No, you don't believe that. The Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work. Well, the sixth reason that you ought to memorize the Scripture is because it works. That's a pretty good reason. It works. Now I'll close with a word of personal testimony about Scripture memory, if I may. Back in 1956, again, when the grand team was in Oklahoma City, I kept noticing that the people who went into the counseling tent always came out with one of these little deals. I didn't know what they were, but I noticed they all came out with one of these out of that tent. And so after the meeting had been on a couple of weeks, I waited one night until everybody had left the counseling tent, and then I slipped in. And I looked, and I found one of these, and I picked it up, and I put it in my pocket. Just the way it happened. I took it home. Begin to read through it, you know. It says, beginning with Christ. And I read it. Pretty interesting, you know. Enjoyed what it said. Assurance of salvation, assurance of victory, assurance of forgiveness, assurance of provision. And then I got back to the back, and I looked in there, and there were four little old cards. And these little cards had verses of Scripture on them. And it says, and this little book says, memorize these verses of Scripture. Well, you know, I thought memory work was for juniors or intermediates or somebody. But I thought, well, you know, Billy Graham thinks people ought to memorize, I guess I'll tackle it. So I went to work to memorize these four little verses of Scripture. And it had a little card in there. The little card said, If you'll send us in, your name and address in on this little card, we'll send you free the instructions in righteousness. And that word free got me, my Scotch nature, you know. And so I filled it out and I sent it in, and another little deal came, the same size, but it's a different color, it's green. And it says, instruction in righteousness, IR pack. And I opened it up, you know, and I read it, and it got back to the back, and in the back of it were eight little verses. And it says, memorize these verses. Well, you know, I tackled it. And I want to tell you that it was rugged. It was a flat wrestling match to try and get those 12 verses memorized. But I finally did. And there was a little card back in there that said, if you send us in with $3, we'll enroll you in the PMS. Well, I didn't have any more idea what the PMS was than the ABC. But I got on my knees one night and told God this. I said, God, I believe that anything the devil will fight as hard as he's fighting this, there must be great spiritual blessing in it. And if you'll provide the grace, I'll provide the grit. And I'll hang in there. And I started back in 1956, hiding the Word of God in my heart. And it's not any easier today than it was back in 1956. But I also would have to say that there's been nothing I've ever done in my own life in the way of a spiritual exercise that has paid as great a dividend. And it's such a blessing that if God would take my vocal cords tonight, and I could never speak another word, I'd want to continue to memorize the Word of God for what the Spirit of God does with it in my life. If you want to find out where I'm falling short in my Christian walk, all you have to do is just check my verse pack and see the verses that I'm memorizing, because I don't memorize them to share. I memorize them for my life. I recommend it to you that you might start hiding the Word of God in your heart. People pray, God, use me. God, use me. Let me tell you, if you get usable, He'll work you to death. The problem is not that God doesn't have plenty to do, but that it's that people are not equipped. And if you get equipped with the Word of God, I'll guarantee you there'll be plenty to do. Plenty to do. William Lyon Phelps, professor of English language at Yale University, said this: I believe the knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without the Bible. Everyone who has a thorough knowledge of the Bible may truly be called educated, and no other learning can form a proper substitute. There's no greater need in our present-day civilization than a knowledge of and a love for the Bible. Paul put it this way in Colossians 3:16, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the unsearchable riches of your word. We thank you that you have chosen to make this word of yours the complete and total revelation of our Savior Jesus Christ until we see him face to face. And tonight, Father, we tell you that we love you. We do desire to fellowship with you. We do want to be vessels fit for you to use, equipped, men who have the sword of the Spirit ready for the battle. Lord, we make ourselves available to you with thanksgiving for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You will be given a small card. I believe, Mike, some of you, if you have these, start passing these out, if you will. There'll be two sets of cards coming by. One will be white. If you will, take one card. And also there'll be some colored cards coming by, so take one white one and one colored one. There is a purpose. And so if you will do that as they come by, just let them off there. Start packing them down. When you get the colored card, if you will. Now, this is the colored card. You just write, please return to. That's in case when Margaret and I find them all over the center, we'll know who belongs to it. And write your name and address on the colored card. Your name, your address, your phone number. It's on the colored card. Top of the white card, write the phrase in the center, if you want to do something like that, glorify the Lord. Write the phrase, glorify the Lord. In the center at the top. On the white card. white card. The colored card, just your name and address. On the white card, write, glorify the Lord, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Okay? In the left-hand bottom corner, write February 24, 1967 in the center. That's the year. This is the date. How many days are in February? That's four more, right? How many days in March? 31. 35 days. You want to spend at least 6 weeks on a verse. That's how many days? 42? 35 and 42? And what? 7? Over in the right hand corner, right, April 7th. I'll be glad to go over that week again. Sometimes you have a problem, but. The left hand corner, February the 24th, that's today. 42 days later will be April the 7th. And when you learn a verse, one of the best things in the world you can do it is review. And many of you have learned verses that are totally unavailable to you today because you have not reviewed them. And so when you learn a verse, we want to work on it every single day, not missing a day. Every single day for 6 weeks. That's 72 days. When April the 7th comes up, I'm reviewing my verses. I happen to see it's April the 7th. I can lay that verse aside and then review it once a week or some system that we'll share with you later. Now, if this thing problems to you, it doesn't have to be exactly 6 weeks. Review it 8 if you want to. But the point is, don't review it 2 weeks and quit. You won't know it like you should then. All right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Now, the topic of it is glorify the Lord. Now, turn this card over and let me show you now what I mean before you flip it around the wrong way. You see, I'm holding the card like this. And I flip it over, like that. Now, don't turn it around. You flip it over. Very, very important. Johnny, I don't think this would help you much anyway, Johnny. Now open the big old 10-pound Bible which you bought, or the small one, and find 1 Corinthians 10:31, and copy it word for word, commas, period, just exactly as the King James translation says, or whatever translation you're using. And let's copy it word for word. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:31, copy the entire verse. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Any of you have problems saying all this? You don't have a balance. Do all to the glory of God. Okay? Now, let's memorize it together. You all have it copied down.
No.
All right, take another minute. Well, therefore, you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, let me mention this. One of the best ways when you start to do anything, and Gene Moore first shared this with me, and I found it very helpful. When you start to do anything, regardless of what it is, the number one thing you want to do is start. Number two is start now. Number three is start enthusiastically. And then number four is make no exceptions. There was a time in my life in which I would not go to bed for any reason, 2 o'clock or later, unless I memorized the verse. Well, it's very legalistic, perhaps, but it changed my life. Now, when you start, and we're going to have a time later, we won't have any walk down the aisle unless I memorize the verse. Well, it's very legalistic, perhaps, but it changed my life. Now, when you start, And we're going to have a time later. We won't have any walk down the aisle. We've too many times walked down the aisle when God told us to go out the door and do something. But we will have a time before we leave in which you can make a decision about what you're going to do about what you've heard tonight. Two of the tools, simple tools, quiet time and scripture memory. But I'll assure you, you will not be doing this 2 years from now and be the same person. Let me ask you something. Kathy, how old are you?
18.
You're 18. Kathy's 18. We'll take her for example. Kathy, if you began to memorize 3 verses a week, how many would you know at the end of the year? Someone can help her here. How many? I know when you put someone on the spot, it's hard. How many weeks in a year? Let's start that way. I have 52 weeks in a year. 3 verses a week. I had 156. At the end of the year, Kathy would be 19, and she'd know 156 verses. That's more than any of you sitting here tonight know, probably. How many would you know at the end of 10 years, Kathy? 1,560. How old would you be 10 years from now? Well, after 10 years from now, Kathy, you'd be 28. And you could have 1,560 verses written in your heart. Now, I'm 2 years past 28, and I am not an old man. Kathy, if you began this just in a slow way, 3 a week, and as a friend of mine says, anybody's baby sister can memorize 3 a week. You still go to class, you still make your grades, you still go to church, you still teach your Sunday school class, you do everything that everyone else is doing except you use time, some time that other people waste. I've not been here very long, but OU is a pretty good sized campus. And a lot of you come to noonday and some of you walk. Now, where's your mind when you're walking from over there to over here? It does not take the full, mature mind of a college student to put one foot in front of the other. It really doesn't. And you could memorize 3 verses a week in time that other people waste by having them on little cards. And that's the reason. Now, let me warn you here. We don't want you to go around the campus with your cards out. Here comes old Spiritual Joe running over everybody, bumping into them with his cards out. One of the reasons we use this size card is they're very handy. You can stand in cafeteria line, you can review your verses, and not one single person know what you're doing. And so I would highly suggest that. You can hide them in your hand. They're small, they're handy, to keep them in your pocket someplace, and during time that other people wait, you can review verses. Now, I just want to mention 2 things here, and I won't go on to preach to you, but I want to share this, and then I'm going to write these verses down. If I were to ask you today, where is the story of David and Goliath? If you know, don't call it out. Just raise your hand. Who knows where the story of David and Goliath is? One of the most familiar stories in the Old Testament. Yeah, you know, because I told you that. The most familiar story in the Old Testament, and some of you sit on a pew every Sunday since you can remember, and you don't know where the story of David and Goliath is, and right now that story is completely unavailable to you to share with anyone. Here's a young Christian you want to encourage him. If you can't sit down and open the Bible and show him the story of David and Goliath, you've got to go running looking for a concordance. That's unavailable to you. Well, I know where the story of David and Goliath is because one day I memorized one verse, 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." 1 Samuel 17:45. And I know where the story is because of one verse. And one of the great values of scripture memory will be just to learn key verses. And you see, one of the one of the greatest disadvantages, they say, or one of the things they have against scripture memory is you take it out of context. You don't have to. I know the context because of the verse. Now, if you'll begin to memorize verses, it'll amaze you the way God can give you a quick working knowledge of the Bible. But I'll assure you, it will not be easy. It is a spiritual discipline. And we discipline ourselves in many areas, but I don't know very many people who are very disciplined when it comes to their own devotional life. Now, I'm fixing to write up here six verses. They have some order, and you'll find out about them, what the order is later when you drop by my office to pick up some more verse cards. Now, I want you to start, if you will. See, tonight is Friday, right? And so we started on a verse, and we're going to learn this. So we're going to work on it Friday, and tomorrow's Saturday. Just don't go to bed tomorrow night until you know 1 Corinthians 10:31. If it's 1 o'clock, girls, another 5 minutes won't make that much difference. But it'll make a difference in your life in years to come. And so you start on Friday. We're going to learn a verse. And then on Monday, we'll knock off on Sunday and go to church. We're going to work on it. Sunday school training. Monday, you start on the second verse. You review that one. And on Monday, you work on it. On Tuesday, by the time you go to bed Tuesday night, just don't go to bed unless you know that verse. And you review the second. You review the one you just learned, you work on this one. Wednesday, you work on a verse. Thursday, just don't go to bed until you learn it. And then you start on Friday. Now, we just happen to start on Friday. See? That's 3 a week. One, you work on one verse. 2 days. And make sure you don't go to bed that second time until you've got it down. Okay? Now, you can write them up and begin to read them ahead of time and this type of thing, and you won't have any problem, I think, doing this. But just make it a little rule of your life, and when you learn it word perfectly. And that is not a worship of the King James or whatever translation you're learning, but if you do not get it down, if you just kind of, quote, get the essence, wait till you know 200 verses. You won't have the foggiest idea of what that verse says or what you put in there. And so when you do something, just do it right. Work on it word perfectly. Get it? If it says thee, you say thee. Or get you another translation. And so learn it word perfectly. Now this will make a lot of difference over a period of time. Now, I want you to copy, if you will, these six verses. You already have the first one. Put the topic always at the top. That's why we wanted you to write that one up. You have an example. Just write this. Don't try to write them on a card now. Just write them on a piece of paper. Love. 1 John 3:16. Now, not John 3:16, but 1 John. Obedience. John 14:21. Rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Intercession, praying for others. Colossians 4:12. Faith, Hebrews 11:6. Now, faith is impossible to please. Six verses. You already have the other one. Now, at the back in my office, on my desk, are little packs like this, little flannel packs. Each one of them has six little white cards. We're not passing them out because some of you will not want to do this, possibly. And we just don't want to pass them out and you get one just because your boyfriend does it. Come on out. If you do not determine before God you want to do this, please do not take a pack. We'll place them in the hands eventually of someone who will. At the end of 6 weeks, or at the end of 2 weeks, after you've learned the six verses, there will be other cards for you. Now this, as you'll eventually see, will spell out something. And we have a reason for this. And as you can see, these are topics that are vitally related to Christian life. When you learn these verses, read them in a context, read before and after it, think over it, get it in your mind. When you're driving, when you're walking, think about these verses. Go over and over, pull them out during the day. You have a few minutes between classes. Keep this pack with you. That's why it's like it is. And then after 2 weeks, when you come in, if you can quote your verses word perfectly, without a single missed word, you will get some more cards. Now, we're not trying to run kindergarten, but we have some things in mind. Now, some of you are going to look back a few weeks from now when other kids are moving ahead, and there's always going to be an apple out in front of them, you know, keep urging them on. And eventually, this will evolve into a course, and something I think will be real helpful to you. But I want you to understand that. Now, when you come in and you miss a word, don't feel like a lot of old mean BSU left. Because you will not get your card. John, if you will, now before we leave, and also, before you leave, if you want this, there's a little pamphlet, a little booklet on the quiet time, which Gene Wall mentioned. That will be given to you free. You can come by and pick that up. And then if you intend to go on and memorize your verses, then I want you to pick up a pack, and let's get with it. I'd also encourage you to check each other. If you have a buddy, say your verses to your buddy. Let him say them to you. This way it can work both ways and be helpful. But work on these verses any time.
Yeah, I had this one word. I appreciate what Master said, and I didn't know what he was going to do. But of a group, and there's probably, 70, 80 people here? Do you know what the percentage of you will complete the 6 verses successfully?
10%?
About 10%. Who said that? You hit it, son. You know why? Because there are really very few people, very few people, who are serious about the claims of Jesus Christ. That just happens to be a fact. And if there's one essential characteristic without which a person cannot be a real disciple of Christ, it can be wrapped up in one word, faithfulness. That's it. Luke 15:10, Jesus said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." So for the 8 of you, whoever you are, you know, praise God, I'm for the 8. For the rest of you, good try.
I think you'll find that this will be one of the most helpful things you've ever done in your life. Let me just mention one way in which it's been helpful to me. You know, you do not have time, nor do I, to walk in and sit down and spend literally hours every day reading my Bible, but I can study the Bible as I'm driving down the street and say, well, I think I'll review the book of Matthew. I don't have my verse pack out running over children and people like this. I'm just driving down the street and say, well, I think I'll review the book of Matthew. Well, what's the first number? Well, I learned Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when I'm going from one town to the other, I don't have to have the radio on listening to some dumb hillbilly pluck on the guitar. But I can use this as time to study. Well, what's the next one I learned? Well, I learned Matthew 4:19, and he answered and said unto them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And I can pray about this. Well, what's the next one? Well, I learned Matthew 5:6, and I learned Matthew 5:16, and Matthew 5:19, and Matthew 6:6, and Matthew 6:19-21, and Matthew 6:33, and Matthew 7:1, and Matthew 7:7-11. And you name a book, and I'll start through it. Now, I don't know very many verses necessarily, and I didn't memorize them in order, but once I have reviewed this verse every day for 6 weeks, then I've got a little box. And I put it in this little box. And it starts right here with verses in Genesis, and it goes through Revelation. And you know, there's still 30 days in a week, so I have little tabs in it. It's got 1, 2, 3, right on through 30. And I have them in sections. And today was the 24th. This morning, before I left home, I reached back here, and I pulled out little tab number 24, and I reviewed those verses. And once I learn a verse, I work on it every day. It doesn't get out of this pack for 6 weeks. And then I put it in this little box, according to books. I have sections of 30. As a friend of mine does, he can review 900 verses a month while he's shaving with an electric razor. That's right. Fine. Simple little thing, just a simple little thing. It can make a fantastic difference 10 years from now. Okay, let's pray together. Now, before we pray, I want you to do this. The Christian life is a life of decision. It's a life of decision. You've got to make decisions, and this is why some of us don't pray so well. We refuse to do it. I want you to take just a moment and pray about your quiet time and make a decision as to what you're going to do about what you've heard. Okay? Take just a moment to pray about your quiet time. Now let me ask you to continue in prayer and make a decision as to what you will do about the first 6 verses. Will you, before God, determine once and for all, God, I will begin to memorize verses, and I'll learn these first 6. Now, we're not just learning verses we can quote, but we're trying to get the Word of God in our hearts so we can pray over it, and so the Holy Spirit can bring it to our mind when we need it. And after we've closed in a word of prayer together, you can step into the office if you want to, pick up a pack, and pick up the little quiet time booklet and study through it. And I hope to see you in 2 weeks. Our Father, we're thankful for your sending Gene Moore our way tonight. And Father, I want to pray for my own life at the point of my quiet time and my own scripture memory. Lord, you know that it's still a struggle. And there are many times, Lord, in which it's not what it should be. And Father, you know there's many times that I've failed you in scripture memory. There are many days, Lord, in which I've gone without trying to hide your word in my heart. And Lord, I'm not happy about this, and I know you're not. And Father, I just pray that in this group there would be decisions made that we would begin with something so tiny, so little, something that'll take just a few minutes each day. And Father, as someone has said, it's not how many you memorize a day or how many you memorize a week, it's just the consistency. And Father, I pray you'd work on my life and work on these that are here through our quiet time and through our scripture memory. And oh God, may we not depend upon the flesh, because we know apart from you it cannot be done. And Father, speak to us and minister to us and rebuke us and instruct us and encourage us through your word. We thank you for these that are here. And God, may it might not be just another meeting where we've been inspired, but may we begin to walk as Paul described in the New Testament, day after day after day, walk with you through your word. For it's in your name that we've prayed. Amen.